Welcome to Fontenelle, and I've been covering some of the materials showcased at the Peer Conference 2018, where there was a big focus on nutrition with the tagline, "Everyone's Responsibility." Now, I was lucky enough to get an interview with Dr. Sarah Williams after her talk before she headed back to her work as Consultant of the Week in Southampton. We started off talking about the management of patients in nutritional crisis and the use of the Marzipan Junior Guidelines. And she covered the importance of phosphate in patients who have the potential to head into refeeding syndrome with the complications that they can cause, which can be life-threatening. She also covered micronutrient depletion, and then we moved into how to manage the obese patient. So it's great to meet you, Sarah. This is Sarah Williams, and she's a general paediatric consultant with a special interest in gastro and nutrition, working at Southampton. Sarah, I wonder if you'd mind just going over some of the key points again.
Absolutely.
Perhaps you could talk about the anorexic patient and marzipan.
So we started off by talking about the children presenting in nutritional crisis with anorexia, which is where the general paediatric team normally get involved. I work as part of the a multidisciplinary team with our liaison CAMS service, our dietitians, the ward staff, who are all unfortunately quite used to working with these patients who we see increasingly more commonly, and about managing their nutritional crisis, at which point their weight loss caused by their eating disorder has put their life at risk. These generally are such high risk patients, both for the physical consequences of their eating disorder as well as their risk for self-harm and suicide, that there are national guidance that were written originally for adults and then rewritten for children, as the children are a different population than the adults. And that comes as Junior Marzipan, which is now available as an app to help anyone who is involved with risk assessment at the point of nutritional crisis. Looking at how to assess these children, as with all nutritional assessments, a full history examination and investigations help to produce a strategy for rescue for these children. The Marzipan Junior app takes you through that on a step-by-step basis to be able to make a plan for managing them. Now, we know that children with eating disorder who come into hospital with nutritional crisis are a special group that are highlighted as a risk for refeeding syndrome, but that refeeding syndrome is something we see in a lot of other children who come in with other reasons to have nutritional crisis, acute on chronic or acute in times of illness. Refeeding syndrome is something that's potentially life-threatening, therefore really, really important to identify and manage, because thinking about it, looking for it and managing it can have a massive impact for morbidity or mortality.
Okay, one other thing that came out in your talk that was really interesting was this talk about phosphate.
That's about monitoring for refeeding syndrome, so making sure that that you understand the importance of phosphate within the biochemistry of a person, both in nutrition and in refeeding. Phosphate is kind of the battery store of the body, so ATP to ADP is your rechargeable battery system for energy within the cell. Phosphate's a big part of that, so in times of plenty you can store energy up to be used, and if you've got a child who's in nutritional crisis, then they've probably used up their stores of energy, and if you don't replete their stores of phosphate and electrolytes and micronutrients before you give them a large bolus of energy, then you will uncouple the chemical mechanisms that are involved in almost every physiological process in the body, and that's why phosphate is a marker of refeeding syndrome and why repletion of phosphate is necessary before you refeed any child, and that the minute you start to give somebody a source of especially carbohydrate, you increase insulin, and insulin will drive phosphate into the cells. And if somebody is phosphate deplete overall, then they will not be able to cope with that refeeding process. Mm-hmm. So just recognising that thinking about why phosphate's important, thinking about the importance of correcting it in a refeeding process to prevent the devastating effects of refeeding syndrome if it goes unrecognised and untreated, would be my main message.
That's fantastic. In terms of, with the phosphate, giving micronutrients, mm-hmm. which ones would you recommend focusing on?
So thiamine and then a multi-vitamin and mineral supplement. So Abidec for our little children and Synestogen is our multivitamin of choice, but thiamine's really important in part of the refeeding process.
Now, in your talk, you mentioned that nutritional crisis can be seen in patients of any shape and size. So how do you approach someone who's overweight?
So if someone's overweight, that doesn't mean that they cannot be malnourished. I think that's really important and comes across. So think about their nutritional history, thinking about whether they are restricting their eating patterns, whether they've got micronutrient deficits, as is common with obese patients, and with our restricted eating children with autism, again, they can have very few foods that they tolerate. Mm-hmm. So the quantity of calories can be sufficient or in excess, but their quality of nutrition can put them at high risk. So I think a history along with height, weight, head circumference in babies and plotting gives you a good idea about what their background acute and chronic risk is for refeeding syndrome.
So would you suggest taking that kind of nutritional history and plotting everyone no matter what they've come in with?
So I think nutrition is such an important factor for all children in illness that it's part of a routine assessment of all children who come in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's a great message. So talk to us a little bit more about obese patients and how just someone, for example, who comes in with another problem, perhaps asthma, but they also happen to be obese. How should we be approaching that kind of patient?
So I think that we've got quite a lot of data from Southampton, which shows that we've got about an 18% of our people who come through our assessment unit are overweight, and about 6% are obese, and therefore these children are going to come into our unit. I see a high proportion of children referred for obesity to outpatients, but actually the child that comes onto the ward is going to have, there's certainly going to be a significant population of those children that are obese. I think starting the overweight obesity conversation with children who come in at all times is going to reinforce the importance that we hold for managing their weight and getting their weight under control for their lifetime risk, as well as the impact on their acute illness that they're in with. We need to not be lulled into a false sense of security that their overall nutrition is good, and I think that's an important message. And starting that that obesity conversation with the parents is a really important skill to learn as a paediatrician moving forward.
Definitely. I mean, that's something that I think we could all benefit from some education about, just to have the confidence to know how to start and where to start and how to be tactful and what to say. So what tips would you give a junior paediatric trainee on just how to sort of go about that?
So I think that I've changed the way that I approach this over the last five years. Having used some of the skills from motivational interviewing to think about what the patients and parents' motivation for control are, making sure that they prioritise that they talk to you about why that's important for them, and then encouraging them to make a plan that you support is a much better method of bringing about change than the accusing sort of stick that we normally have this discussion with. I know that Nikki Davis is doing quite a lot of work with this, and that we're producing a study day in February that's on peer to talk about this as a new way of approaching the obesity problem, which is so important for all of us to take hold of and manage properly.
That's great. So we can find that on the peer website.
That's right.
And are there any other sort of tools available online that you can recommend, or starting points for people to look at?
So I think it's about the message that weight control in children is different from weight control in adults, that stabilising weight and stopping weight gain gives children opportunity to catch up or grow into their high weight for height, and that obviously post-pubertal children have to look at stabilising and then healthy weight loss.
Yeah.
I have, with my feet in both camps, I have lots of parents who worry about having a healthy conversation with the child about healthy weight, pushing them into an eating disorder. I personally have never seen that. And I think encouraging them that talking about a healthy lifestyle is something that every parent should take on as with any other safety recommendation for long-term health and well-being for their children, rather than it being a taboo subject. To be able to talk to them about the constant struggle that all of us will have to control our weight is about giving them the skills to have a long and healthy life.
Great. And if I've got someone there in the clinic sitting in front of me and the parents and the child are asking about a strategy that they can use and they say, I've tried everything, but they're clearly climbing up on the centiles still, just what's a brief message you can give them after you've gone through this motivational talk with them? Would you mainly focus on diet or exercise? And if so, what type of things?
So push it back to them. Make it their problem. They've got to come up with a solution. You see them once every 6 months, if you're lucky, once every 3 months, if you've got a good clinic capacity. So push it back, because they know. They're not stupid, most of them. They understand what makes weight gain. If they say that they have no idea, push it back to them and say, really have no idea. Let's think about that.
Okay.
Let's look at what's successful for you in the past. Let's look at what you can do.
Yeah.
Make it their problem and their solution, and you're more likely to succeed.
Yeah, that's great advice. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.